Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Shravan. We've got Taran here with us.
Hello.
And this is our final episode for the year. So we're going to do a roundup.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Diwali.
Happy Hanukkah.
I guess you can Diwali's, say all of those things.
Diwali yeah. is a different time of the year.
Yeah. So
Happy Sankranti.
As you can hear, we've got some two guests, returning guests. You would have heard of them in our previous episodes. So, Bhaskar.
Hello. Hey, how you going? That's the other Bhaskar.
And Kiriti, who's also the other Bhaskar, apparently. Yeah. Welcome.
he says hello to everybody except himself.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I caught up with you guys, man.
It's been a while. Yeah. So, like I said, we're gonna do a bit of a roundup of 2021 in terms of movies and also TV shows. We've got some awards to hand out, like we always do. And then we are going to talk about most anticipated for 2022. So I've got a short list of movies that I'm looking forward to, and we can discuss any other ones.
Beautiful.
All right. So let's jump straight into it. So the first thing I'll do is I'll just go through the box office for 2021 as it stands at the moment. There is going to be at least one change. So at the moment, the highest grossing movie of the year is a Chinese film called The Battle at Lake Changjin. So it's made $902 million worldwide. But almost certainly, that's not going to end up number one because Spider-Man No Way Home is currently on $895 million worldwide. And that's obviously going to eclipse.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So most likely, that's going to make more than $1 billion, Spider-Man. So that will be the highest grossing movie of 2021.
How much did Endgame make?
$2.7 billion.
Won't get there, you think?
No way. to get Endgame there, they had to do multiple releases and then also do a re-release afterwards as well to get it there. So it's just no movie's ever going to get there again. It's quite close to being impossible.
I think it was the film that was made to break records.
Yeah. You can't and the problem is it's not number one anymore because Avatar overtook it again.
Yeah.
But the reason
they re-released it.
Yeah. The reason Avatar...
They re-released it.
Avatar.
Yeah. Why? When?
Post-pandemic, when theaters opened, they were re-releasing
movies. Who the hell went to watch that?
Yeah.
What fucking loser went to watch that?
But the problem with why Avatar is never going to get beaten is because everyone watched that movie in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
And
everyone paid extra money.
No one watches 3D movies anymore, so yeah.
Yeah, well, in the second half...
We watched Infinity War in 3D.
We did. We watched it in 4D. Yeah.
4D?
Yeah.
I don't understand what the fourth one.
But yeah, in the second half of this episode, we will talk about some movies coming out in 2022, and one of them is Avatar 2.
Yeah, so fuck that.
Yeah,
that's my early thoughts on that.
In terms of the other movies that make up the top 10, there's a couple of other Chinese movies. Hi, Mum was a Chinese movie that was actually number one for like what's most that? Of this
what's
year.
The, what's the Chinese name?
I don't know.
Mandarin name.
Hi, Amma.
Ni hao.
Ni hao, ma.
Ni hao, ma.
So, but apart from Spider-Man, so the second movie after that that's in the English language is No Time to Die. That made $774 million worldwide.
Nice. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seen what it. Do you think? Out of 10?
5.
8.
Whoa.
I would rate it higher than
yeah, it's so it's, the opinions are so split.
Yeah.
Some people love it. Some people think it's average.
It's a good finisher to the arc. But from its rankings, it looked like it was delayed a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Not just because of pandemic, but just general delays with like directors leaving and stuff. But yeah, it ended up doing really well, at least in terms of the box office. And then F9 was actually the highest grossing English language film for a long time, but it got overtaken by the other two.
What would you rate that out of 10?
10. Okay. No,
it's not great.
It's not great, but
it's what you expect
it
to
fun.
Be. Yeah.
Does it cause mental retardation like the last movie?
Yeah, definitely. Why do you think I'm what I am?
A couple of surprises in the top 10. So Venom, Let There Be Carnage is number 7. It made $500 million worldwide. I don't know why these movies are so popular. So even Venom, the first one, did exceedingly well.
$499.5 million too much for that movie.
Godzilla vs. Kong is in there. So that did pretty well.
Shit, I haven't seen it. Anyone seen it?
Yeah,
I saw the theaters. Good. I quite liked it.
Is it out on streaming?
Yeah.
Yes, on Netflix. Okay. Watch it.
Yeah. It's Netflix. Fuck. I don't have Netflix subscription anymore.
No one near as good as Denis Villeneuve's Godzilla, like the remake, the initial remake. Not as good, but
Jesus Christ.
Denis Villeneuve never made a Godzilla movie.
Wasn't he photography?
No.
Photography?
You're thinking Gareth Edwards.
Sorry, Gareth Edwards.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who did Rogue One.
Yeah.
I know none of these.
If Danny Villeneuve made a Godzilla movie, it would be fucking amazing.
Oh, I'd watch that.
Yeah. Which you're probably going to name it Danny Villeneuve movie, or so did it not make it?
It did make the top 10. So it probably will eventually. Yeah. So it's number 11 at the moment on $393 million. Number 10.
What's the movie?
Dune.
Oh, did he make it?
Mm. Yeah. So number 10 is Eternals on 400. So it's probably going to get past Eternals, but Eternals is still getting in some money. So we'll have to see where that goes.
Marvel Association.
Yeah. And then Shang-Chi is also in the top 10. So that made about $400 million.
They make more than Eternals, please.
Yeah. More than Eternals. Just more than Eternals.
Lots of this obviously affected by pandemic
stuff. Yeah. Black Widow is not in the top 10, but that also had a simultaneous Disney Plus release.
Oh, man, the release for that was shit. They should have done more justice to that movie, I feel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was
much. There's a lot of movies.
She's suing, wasn't she? Or she's getting...
She got Scarlet paid out.
Yeah.
She's fucking out of Scarlet Witch sometimes.
Yeah. A couple of surprises. Suicide Squad did not do well.
Yeah, so the problem with all the Warner Brothers movies this year, none of them have done well.
Yeah.
Except for Dune.
That was apparently good, right?
Yeah. Godzilla vs. Kong was a Warner Brothers as well.
So. I can't remember if Godzilla vs. Kong had the simultaneous release on HBO Max.
It did.
But most of these have been...
Simultaneous releases.
Yeah, which means lots of people just pirated.
That was last year.
That was good.
It wasn't... it did all right. But
me, at least.
It did all right, but it wasn't the highest grossing. I think the highest grossing movie of last
year
was
Bad Boys for Life.
It actually was one of them.
It was Bad Boys for Life was the highest grossing
English
film. I
watched that movie and I don't know what happened. I actually can't remember that movie and I've seen it.
The highest grossing film was from some Chinese movie, but after that it was actually
the Japanese Demon Slayer.
It was,
movie.
Yeah.
Oh, the Demon Slayer movie. Mugen Train.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that was the highest grossing.
Yeah, that was actually pretty
But common. The highest grossing English language film was Bad Boys for Life.
Other surprises, Cruella. I don't think anyone expected that movie to do anything, but it made $200 million. 15.
I watched that movie after you guys reviewed it.
Yeah, it's actually not that bad.
And I somehow listened to all of that review, listened to the story, and then watched the movie, and I was like, I did not expect this.
Yeah. Well, we did full spoilers, so how did you still get surprised?
Yeah. I listened to the whole thing. I watched it, I was like, oh, yo, this movie's interesting, man.
Rounding out the top 20, so Jungle Cruise is in there, even though that actually did have a simultaneous.
Jungle Cruise was an interesting movie.
Yeah. Mm. I think it came out at a time just when people started going back to the cinema, I think. And
based off a ride, huh?
Yeah.
The fuck?
Disneyland ride. Like they tried to do a Pirates of the Caribbean.
Jack Whitehall is
it was good.
I mean, he's always been a great comedian.
And even Emily Blunt and The Rock are good, I guess.
The Rock, whatever. Yeah. So overrated.
Conjuring the Devil Made Me Do It is also in the top 20, number 19.
Interesting. Yeah.
So that was, again, released in that time frame.
Seen it.
We went to see it. Yeah, when it came out.
Yeah, Basker reviewed it with us. Yeah.
It was interesting. Yeah.
Is it with that lady still?
Yeah.
In the last few?
Vera Farmiga?
Yeah.
Just on that. I think, I don't know if this is their last appearance, but yeah, this one we definitely felt it wasn't as strong as the first two, but I was surprised that made it into the top 20.
I guess the story is Spider-Man is going to be the highest grossing movie and it's going to break some records as well. So
deserves it.
Yeah.
Well done.
Is that with Chinese box office?
No, it's probably not going to release in China the way it's going. So it's probably...
Why?
There's a lot of tensions with releasing English language films at the moment in China just because of other Chinese tension stuff. So it's probably not going to release there. So
Chinese
does that mean that Shang-Chi wasn't released in China?
No.
No, it wasn't.
No way.
And apparently they didn't like it.
There was
a lot
of backlash against Shang-Chi in China as well. Yeah.
So none of the Marvel movies that came out this year have released in China.
What are they saying? Whitewashed?
They weren't a fan of the steroid. Well, no one actually knows what people in China are actually feeling about it, to be honest.
There was one white actor in the whole film. What do you mean whitewashed?
Whitewashed opinion of what Chinese culture is.
No one actually knows what this is, what the government feels, I think, more than what the actual people. The actual people might be all for it, but they didn't get a chance to watch it.
Whole fucking virus because that guy was going to get offended. So fuck him.
But that's kind of confusing because I don't know if you guys remember when Kung Fu Panda first came out, right? That was like the zeitgeist of foreign films. And even the Chinese ministry at that point was like saying, we are kind of ashamed that we didn't make a movie this good.
Mm.
It's interesting how times have changed in just like a decade.
There are movies that do exceedingly well in China. Like the Avengers Endgame did crazily, like it did really well in China.
Yeah.
So it's not like they don't watch our movies. It's just, maybe they just don't like
that. They don't have the chance. I don't think it's a general public's opinion.
It's just more
More they don't have the chance to watch it, and they probably don't know a lot about it until the government allows them to.
So, at the moment, Spider-Man does not have a release date in China, so we'll have to see what happens with that. But he obviously is a very popular character worldwide, so if they do release it, they'll probably do pretty well.
Yeah. Obviously, the market has massive influence. The number one film currently being the Chinese film.
Yeah. So. It's doing really well in India as well. It's doing gangbusters. Dude,
Spider-Man done so well in India, they actually made an Indian Peter Parker. Like in comics. There's an Indian Spider-Man.
You guys say this?
There's
Peter Parker in Mumbai.
Yeah. His name is something Prabhakaran, like to go off like Patel. Peter Parker. No, his actual name is something Prabhakaran. I forgot his first name, like Praveen Prabhakaran or something, but that's his actual name.
But yeah, and obviously there's a Japanese Spider-Man. Spider-Man's a very, very popular character. Mm. All right, so let's get into the best of 2021 and we'll do a short segment on the worst as well. In terms of our stats for this year, so we've reviewed 38 new movies and TV shows. So combined, we've done like about 38 reviews. 34 of them we gave positive reviews for. So the four that didn't get positive reviews, one is Space Jam, one is Snake Eyes.
Space Jam didn't get a positive review because they changed how Lola Bunny looked.
Have you seen Space Jam?
The original.
If you watch the Space Jam, that movie actually gave me mental retardation. Like,
Dude, the number of fans who were not angry, like rage fueled, that Lola Bunny was not sick.
The curves.
Look, that's not the problem with that film.
To be honest,
some people that's what
was LeBron James acting
look,
like
if,
shit. Or?
If that is your if that's your number one problem with that film, you have problems. There's much bigger.
I don't think LeBron's even the main problem.
LeBron's as good as Michael.
Is this a bad story?
It's just a terrible movie. Like, terrible, terrible movie.
I think it was
yo, guys, we got to watch this.
There's so many of these films that are trying for the nostalgia grab. Like, go back. And I think this just didn't hit the mark.
Movie night.
It's not funny. No one cares about the Looney Tunes anymore. There's just, the animation's crap at most points. It's, there's not much that's a winner.
Damn.
And the overall basketball game, terrible.
No sex.
Yeah. I think some kids might like it maybe, but overall. So that was the first, it was the first movie that we gave a negative review for this year and it came out in the middle of the year. So we're going pretty well up till then. But then Snake Eyes, which was just boring.
What is Snake Eyes?
Is it the G.I. Joe?
Yeah. It was just generic boring.
And then we reviewed a Netflix movie called Sweet Girl, starring Jason Momoa.
Yeah, that was terrible. Yep.
Which was
Sweet Girl.
Yeah.
Why the fuck did you decide to do that?
It's about his daughter, and anyway, it's not worth watching. It's not even worth
not worth mentioning. Yeah.
Who's in it? Yep.
Jason Momoa.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Reminiscence was a movie that we gave a negative review for, starring Hugh
Jackman.
I
thought that was okay.
But yeah. it was just a bit boring.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman. And Malignant was, you actually gave it a negative review. I gave it a positive review. So look, that was split.
It was
Malignant.
I don't know what they were going for in that movie. I absolutely loved watching it. And it was probably one of the hardest I've ever laughed with a movie.
Is it a comedy?
It's a horror movie.
But I'm not sure.
Darren laughs to the horror movies. So
no, but I'm not sure what they were going for, because this is, you watch it as well. It's a genuinely funny movie.
So I didn't find it funny, but I think if we watched it in a cinema maybe and there was like crowd reactions, it might have, but I didn't think it was that funny, but yeah.
Yeah, it's something else. I don't know if it's a bad movie or if that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
If that's what they're going for, it's probably one of the best movies this year. But if it's not what they're going for, then they missed the mark by a lot.
So a lot of people really like love this movie because it's just like, I don't know, it was really campy. Something like, it's a throwback to like old horror movies, and it's got like a funny element to it as well. So a lot of people loved it. It's directed by James Wan, so he's making a comeback to horror after a long time.
James Wan, good.
James Bond, yeah. Yeah, he directs movies now.
Yeah, no time to die.
Except now it is.
Yeah.
And actually, both of us did actually give a negative review and No Time to Die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did not like that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was another one. But overall, we've had a pretty positive year in terms of reviews at least. So we'll jump into awards. So I've got some segments and we can decide who wins the awards. So first one is Best Animated Movie, and the nominees are Raya and the Last Dragon, Luca, and Encanto.
Oh, I haven't seen Encanto.
For me, it's Raya and the Last Dragon.
On Disney Plus, which you watch.
Yeah, but they're not. They're all not. I mean, I haven't seen Encanto, but Raya versus Luca, like they're both not amazing. They weren't absolute smash hits, but yeah.
I think
Raya was a little bit better than Luca.
Yep.
To do martial arts animation is very difficult, and I think I was reminded of a lot of animated shows that did martial arts, like Avatar, Last Airbender, Kung Fu Panda influences as well. So, yeah. My award goes straight to Raya, I reckon.
I think Raya was the best one. It also released, like, pretty early in the year. So, it was, for a long time, I thought it was actually one of the best movies I've seen this year. I really liked it. Luca was also pretty good, but it was, like, a simple story, simple movie. Yeah. Encanto, I actually really liked Encanto, too. Oh, Encanto has some good songs.
I missed it. When did it come out? I
was waiting for it. Pretty recently.
On Disney Plus?
It came out on Disney Plus yesterday, but it did have a cinematic release.
Yeah, but it's good. I like the songs.
Encanto's good. I like that family song. That's still stuck in my head for some reason. But I think Raya the Last Dragon's overall the better film.
I'm looking at it purely technically, like in terms of what they did technically. About story wise, which do you think had the best story?
I think Raya and the Last Dragon had the best story.
Yeah.
Technically, like animation wise, they're all pretty good.
It's on par, but I think Raya's animation was better. There were some like set pieces in that looked spectacular.
Yeah. And this is all, it's pretty, if you look at the mix, it's pretty close. We're looking at Disney Studios animation, Pixar Studios animation, and Disney Pixar, which is, I think.
Yeah, so Luca was Pixar, and the other two were Disney.
Any DreamWorks around?
I don't think there were any other, at least prominent, animated movies that released this year, apart from these three?
There's some ones that I've heard are good. There's this one that released direct to Netflix called The Mitchells versus The Machines.
I've heard about that one. Yeah.
I heard that's quite good.
Arcane, but that's a TV show.
Arcane's a TV show, Arcane's definitely the best animated thing that's come out this year.
Yeah.
By far. It's amazing.
Just watched
Have you guys seen Witcher?
Season 2.
That's neither animated or a movie.
Just asking a question, bitches.
I have.
It's good?
Mixed.
Okay.
So, we're going to give this one to Raya and the Last Dragon. So, that's the best animated movie of the year.
Congratulations.
Let's jump into TV shows. So, I've just grouped all the TV shows into one. So, there's a lot of nominees. I've just listed some of them. So, WandaVision, Falcon, Winter Soldier, Invincible, Jupiter's Legacy, which we reviewed.
Invincible came out this year.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Loki, Star Wars Visions, Ted Lasso Season 2, Wheel of Time, which I haven't seen. I don't think any of us
seen it?
I haven't seen it.
People are raving about it.
I've heard really good
raving.
Things.
What If?
Oh, yeah.
Hawkeye and Only Murders in the Building, which we watched, and anything else that you can. So you've already mentioned Arcane. So
Arcane's amazing.
Yeah.
But for me personally, Ted Lasso season 2 is the best television I've seen this year.
Oh, and okay.
It's spectacular. It's emotionally driven, and everyone should be watching Ted Lasso. It's a very good show.
I haven't
show.
Seen any Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Did HBO's Watchmen come out this year?
No, that was last year.
I think that was last year.
Yeah, I think I just got up to really late.
Yeah. Arcane's pretty spectacular as well. Like, you could give it to Arcane
easily. What's Arcane about?
League of Legends, based on League of Legends, but follows the story of
one of the main characters. Oh, that's what people
The say. Animation in Arcane is the best animation I've seen since Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, wow. That's pretty high accolade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't Arcane, they started that because of the YouTube animated series got really popular. Is that why?
I don't know, actually.
Arcane's been in the works for the last 5 years.
Oh, damn.
And they've...
Because they had all these like stories for each character that came out on YouTube.
League of Legends has like...
viral.
Yeah. It's got deep.
Same with...
lore.
What's that game that everyone fucking played with like...
Wow.
Genshin Impact?
No, I'm saying all these random words. It's like... It was a big thing before. It's like a first-person shooter that everyone played.
Overwatch. Yeah.
The YouTube videos that they had explaining each character's roles were mental. They're really, really cool.
Also, side note.
It went viral.
Hayley Steinfeld is the main character in Arcane.
Yeah.
So she's had a fucking amazing year.
She was in Dickinson as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But you mentioned Invincible came out.
Yes.
This year. That was an amazing adaptation of the comics.
Yeah.
I was hooked. Like, that first episode is a fucking brutal experience.
But was it a good show?
That was a great show.
It's a good show.
You reckon it was a great show?
But it's not as good as these other ones.
I reckon it was first episode amazing, sudden plummet.
There was a bit of a drop.
It was fucking boring after that. And then it got good. It was like, I thought the start was amazing and then it just got boring.
I think there was a lot of filler in between.
And then it wasn't consistent.
It does pick up towards the end, but
it's also very interesting where they have a lot of scenes without any background music or anything. It's just very quiet. It reminds me of
King
of the Hill sort of thing.
It is like a lower budget anime. Like, you can tell the animation's not like the best animation. Correct. So
if you compare it to Arcane, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Arcane's animation is
amazing Arcane.
Compared
to
this.
Oh my god!
For me personally, it's actually because I haven't seen Arcane or Ted Lasso, but Only Murders in the Building is something I really enjoyed.
Mm.
I thought that was
a very good show. But compared to these two shows, it's not on par, I don't think. Yeah.
Surely it was something other than Star Wars Visions this year for Star Wars.
Actually,
Mandalorian was
just wrapped up before Christmas, right?
So that kind of fell into the previous year. But apart from that, there was
the cartoon one. What was it? Star Wars...
Visions.
No, the other one with the Rebel... No, Rogue... what the fuck? the Bad Batch.
The Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Oh, the Bad Batch. Yes, yeah. Actually, I would... Yes. That's an honorable mention.
Every time I read that, I read Bad Bitch. Every time.
was actually...
I tried to watch that, but I don't know. I couldn't get
it. What's Visions about?
Visions is just an anthology series with different animations. It's anime, so it's Japanese style.
With different directors. Different
about what, though?
Taking, like, for example...
they're like different stories, just non-related.
And they're all short as well. They're like 10-minute episodes.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Decent.
Yeah. It's good, but...
Very stylistic.
It's not like...
It's not compulsory. Sort of
it's not groundbreaking or anything.
No.
For Bad Batch, I reckon that was made specifically for like fans of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're really hardcore diehard fans of Clone Wars, you would love Bad Batch. But if you're just watching this as like a Star Wars entry, it can be a little bit confusing or out of place.
I haven't included Netflix stuff in this. So Squid Game is obviously like a phenomenon, but
Squid Game's overrated for me personally. I thought it was okay, but it's not.
Did you guys even rate? Did you review on?
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
Wow, why not? You really should because it would just get you.
I feel like Squid Game just becomes viral sensation.
You get more listeners. You get more listeners to the podcast if you do it. But
would you rate it up there with?
Yeah. No.
I think it was a pretty entertaining show, but I don't think it's as good as people said it was.
Was there anything else on Netflix that was? There's that Midnight Mass show, which is meant to be.
I didn't end up watching that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Was Drive to Survive season 3 this year?
That was last year.
That was last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, documentaries. Documentaries are very dope, but I wouldn't include them in the same category as this. Yeah.
One honorable mention I'd make, which wasn't included, was the continuation of Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba season 3.
Okay.
The fourth arc.
Okay.
Which is essentially the Mugen Train movie, but they made it into a TV series.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, and episodic wise, and it's, they've started a new arc, and that's been that was an emotional rollercoaster. They killed off one of the main characters. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the movie. I saw, Demon Slayer. Yeah.
You just fucking wreck a storyline for everyone?
I didn't say who.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Kyojuro. But it's like almost, it's half a year. Everyone knows.
Fair enough. Yeah. I went and watched Demon Slayer. I hadn't watched the show. It was kind of like quite disconnected for me. Yeah, there was a lot of emotional moments, obviously, but I didn't find them that emotional. Yeah.
First two seasons are on Netflix, actually.
Yeah. I should watch them. So what are we giving it to? What's the verdict?
What do you guys think? Personally, I think it should be probably Arcane or Ted Lasso.
So we're thinking the MCU ones
aren't as good as Ted Lasso or Arcane.
Yeah.
I was thinking initially Loki deserves an award for independently. Forget it's Disney, right? For what it's exploring in its own universe, it's a fucking amazing piece of work. But I feel we've been like so saturated with Marvel. It's just, it doesn't feel fair to consider that as a fair contender. So I'm actually happy with either Ted Lasso or Arcane. They're really, really awesome shows. And for them to stand out as much as they have amidst everything that's gone on during like everyone watching TV in the past year and a half, that's pretty impressive.
I'd say if you want something that emotionally destroys you, Arcane is the one. If you want something that uplifts you, Ted Lasso is the one.
Arcane it is then.
All right.
But genuinely, if you look into the Spider-Verse, like this is the best innovation in animation that they've done since. They've do some cool stuff.
I'll get around it then.
Yeah.
All right. Next category is best horror movie. We've only seen 3 this year. There's obviously other horror movies, but the ones that I've noted are Quiet Place Part 2, Conjuring the Devil. That was 3 years ago. It's but remade. Yeah. Conjuring the Devil Made Me Do It and Malignant.
Look, if Malignant is what it was, if that's what they wanted it to do, it's the best horror movie this year. But I'm still not sure if that's what they. The one I enjoyed the most is Malignant.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the best, and I don't know if Quiet Place is even a horror movie, but I think it's the best movie out of the 3.
Yeah, I would say for a condensed 90-minute experience, if you put it in the same league, like a thriller horror, I would give that the award. We all watched it.
Yeah, we watched it. Yeah.
I was a huge fan of the first one, and this actually continued really well from the first movie.
Yeah, it was almost immediately. Yeah.
Only downside is the dialogues were a bit hard to hear. At certain times.
Yeah.
Other than that,
Conjuring was a movie.
I think Conjuring's probably the worst one out of those. But Malignant's the worst. But I don't know what to make of this movie. To be honest, I kind of want to give it to Malignant.
Don't worry, it features in some other awards. Later, so maybe we'll give this one to Quiet Place Part 2. Best movie to watch with friends. So this is a category that we brought in this year.
I'm going to say which one it is already.
Without looking at the list?
Yeah. It's Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
It's Mortal Kombat.
We had the most fucking fun watching that movie.
That was the best movie to watch with friends, 100%. Yeah.
Well, the other nominees, F9, which is a bit of fun as well. Here's All That. Which is a...
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah.
Is it a rom-com?
It is a rom-com. Yeah. It's starring a TikToker as the lead.
Oh, shit. God. Fuck that.
Malignant is in this list. So I think that would be a bit of fun to watch.
That would 100%. That would be second for me.
It sounds like Babadook levels of fun.
Better than that, man. Yeah, 100% better than that. Yeah.
And Red Notice, which is a little bit of fun. But I think Mortal Kombat... I did have a lot of fun with that.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't think it's a good movie at all. But
I think 99% thanks to Josh Lawson.
Yeah.
In that film, just channeling every bit of Aussie.
So I didn't know any of the references, but I could understand when there was a reference.
Obvious.
But they were like, you could tell when they were being really corny when they were referencing certain aspects.
Definitely.
It's like they did it really. It was tastefully done. It wasn't done over the top or self-referential. No fourth wall breaking. It was nice.
But yeah.
Yeah,
100% Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat. All right. Yeah.
Best non-superhero movie. So there's a lot of non-superhero movies, but the ones I've listed, No Time to Die, which we didn't like that, but other people have liked it. Godzilla vs. Kong, a lot of people had fun with. Last Night in Soho is my personal, it's actually probably my favorite movie of the year.
Oh, yeah, you said it was good.
Yeah.
I was supposed to watch that. Is that on Netflix?
No,
it's still pretty new. So it's on. It might be still in cinemas in some places.
Who's in it?
Anya Taylor-Joy and the girl from Jojo Rabbit. You know the girl?
Scarlet Witch?
No, the other girl. Yeah.
She was good in Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah.
All right.
So for me, it's Last Night Soho, but yeah.
June?
Yeah, June would be in the list. Yeah.
I think it's between June and probably Last Night in Soho.
I haven't seen Last Night in Soho. I think June was very, very good, but it was clearly a setup movie.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
But the music was fucking incredible.
Oh, music was incredible.
Music was really good. Visuals were amazing.
Really good at it. Like homage to the book, obviously, like the adaptation level and the details. Nice.
Yeah.
I also put in one that's on the list. It's a Netflix film. Andrew Garfield's Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah. I heard that's really good. I haven't seen it.
It's amazing.
Like musical.
Musical movie, yeah. It's a really...
It's about the guy that made Rent.
Yeah, the musical.
Yeah.
What is Rent?
Rent is a
Broadway
award-winning musical. I hate paying Rent. Okay.
Don't we all?
What about... Hey, when did The King come out?
The King.
Timothée Chalamet.
That was a directed Netflix maybe this year or maybe last
older.
Year.
I thought it was older. Yeah.
Oh, I watched it this year. I thought it was freaking incredible.
There's a movie called The Green Knight, which is apparently really good.
Oh, haven't seen that. Yeah.
Dev Patel.
But I haven't seen that. So.
Oh, man, there's so many movies I need to watch.
I think I enjoyed Last Night in Soho more than I enjoyed June, just because June was a little bit slow.
Yeah, and if in terms of like what I would revisit first, it would be Last Night in Soho.
Yeah.
Damn it, I need to watch this movie.
I got to watch this movie.
How do I watch it?
It's theaters, man.
It's not in theaters anymore.
It should be. It should be in some cinemas. Like, it won't be widely screened, but it should be in some cinemas. I think we'll probably give it to that. But June is also very good. Most disappointing movie of this year. For me, it is Eternals. But it's close second is actually Black Widow as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Eternals was way worse than Black Widow.
Oh, it was worse, but I was kind of expecting...
I didn't expect Black Widow to be good. I also expected Eternals to be kind of shit, so...
Okay.
Was it really disappointing?
It was disappointing, but going into that movie, I kind of expected it not to be good, so the viewing experience wasn't that disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it left a lot to be desired. You know what?
Luca...
was disappointing.
I thought it'd be way better. I don't think it was as. I don't think they were on par with the sorts of other movies that they were releasing.
I don't think they wanted to make that kind of movie though. Like that's. I went in with that sort of expectation as well, like the Pixar level of movie, but it's just a simple story. Yeah.
I thought they could have been a bit more.
Yeah. I guess I get what you mean. I feel like everything was localized to that village and that race.
Yeah.
That was it. And it was like,
it felt a bit silly.
But it was like a light. Just a light movie,
yeah. Was it an allegory for something else? I kept feeling like they're trying to tell me something. I'm just not getting.
I don't think so. I think it was just
like identity or accepting people for who they are, like that kind of stuff.
It had that.
I think it's that, but I don't think it's any deeper than that.
Yeah.
I can't think. I think
Space Jam. I didn't expect it to be good. I didn't expect it to be decent even. But the level of shit it actually is like shockingly disappointing.
So you didn't expect disappointment, is what I'm saying.
F9.
Like,
F9 was what it was. Like, it didn't disappoint me. It was just what I expected it to be.
Probably, look, Eternals was the biggest disappointment in terms of a movie that I wanted to be good that wasn't good. Space Jam is a movie that disappointed me in terms of, I didn't know movies could be this bad, but this is how bad they could get, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've all got different recipients of that award. Most surprising movie, so this is the flip side of that. Nominees-wise, I've got Godzilla vs. Kong, because that was probably better than I thought it would be. Mortal Kombat was definitely But well, it wasn't good, but it was like
kind of still shit.
Yeah, it wasn't good, but it was very entertaining. Army of the Dead, which is that Netflix movie. That was whatever.
The heist.
Yeah, the zombie one. It was good. It's a Zack Snyder movie.
Well, Zack Snyder, he directed Batman vs Superman.
Oh, thanks.
Man of Steel.
Dog shit.
Hey, I love that film. That's the one film I'll take to my grave.
Cruella, I had as well.
That was a good surprise.
That was surprising.
Well, Zack Snyder made Cruella.
Yeah, did you hear?
And he also made Zack Snyder's Justice League, which was another movie I had on there.
I think it's Zack Snyder's Justice League.
That was probably quite cool.
No right to be as – it's not – I wouldn't say it's amazing still, but it's pretty good.
It's quite cool.
It had no right to be as good as it was.
Yeah, I think I was not expecting it to be anywhere near as good as it was.
It was completely different films.
Fucking 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm never watching it again in my life, but it was okay.
4 hours in such a weird aspect ratio that I'm like – I don't know why he thought this was a good idea. Because everyone's going to watch on the TVs. No one's going to watch it in the theaters.
Look, Zack Snyder does some weird shit for no apparent reason. But some of his stuff is cool.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely the
pair. One of those people that's like, if I do this, people are going to think I'm a genius in like this time. So do it for absolutely no fucking
reason. I loved him drawing on a piece of paper. Like, well, if I show it in 16 to 9, you're not going to see the moon or the Batman signal behind Batman. But if I show it in 4:3, you can see it. And I was like, why don't you just crop that scene into a larger frame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you just zoom out or something?
Why would you change the entire fucking film?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. But it was probably pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. It was probably that. Movies which you wish you hadn't watched. So obviously you've already made it very clear that it's
very
Space Jam.
It's Space Jam. Yeah.
Other movies that I had Snake Eyes. I had that Amazon Cinderella movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which was absolutely horrible. That's probably the winner for me. That was
really bad. Who's in that?
Camila
Cabello.
Yeah. Not good.
Singer girl.
Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Yeah, it's up there. Yep.
Actually, I can understand that one. You could literally just watch the trailer and go, all right.
I've seen that film. Don't need to pay for that one. Yeah.
That's true.
Reminiscence of Sweet Girl were also in it. I mean, I could have done
what,
with
what's
not.
It called?
Sweet Girl and Reminiscence, which is
separate movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it was probably Cinderella. I didn't need to watch that one.
Why did you choose to bloody watch it?
You didn't watch it, did you? I don't know why I watched it. I ended up reviewing it, but yeah, we didn't need to watch it. Yeah, so that's a winner for me. Space Jam, I didn't like hate it that much.
That's because you watched Space Jam on streaming.
Yeah.
I fucking went to the theater to watch that shit.
Why did you go to the theater?
For the full experience.
Yeah, don't ask questions, man. It just happened.
For the full surround
sound. And I regret everything. Yeah.
I feel like this is definitely skewed towards those like you who watch all the films. If I watch a film, it's like I'm already invested in it emotionally a little bit. Like I would not watch this unless I knew it was going to be decent.
Yeah, because you go to watch a movie when you want to watch it.
That's true. That's true. That's true. And it was like if it was as bad as like, to the point where I felt like I didn't want to watch it while I was watching it, I would just leave.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever left out of watching the theater? Like,
not yet.
Space Jam, like, close. Like, literally, it was close.
I feel like you would have walked out. You were close to walking out.
It was. That's the closest I've ever been.
I feel like I have walked out of one, but I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was an Indian movie, though.
Yeah.
Like, Telugu movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we should have walked out of F2. That was the closest I've ever got to actually walking out.
Man. Did I leave?
We did.
No.
Yeah. We somehow watched the whole thing.
Maybe there was an intermission, you just didn't come back.
So is it Venom Let There Be Carnage for you guys? Or
For me, actually, I reckon it would be Demon Slayer Mugen Train. Reason why is because they milked that movie by cutting it down into like 10 episodes and then re-releasing it in season 3. I'm like, I could have just watched it as a TV series. Like, they didn't need to make it into a movie. So it's not disappointing in the sense that I didn't need to actually watch it.
Yeah.
That's it. Because they re-released the damn thing with extra scenes, extra music, extra stuff as a TV show. I went, I might as well just watch that instead.
I don't know what mine would be. Probably Venom.
Yeah. Venom is probably in my list as well.
I mean, even the first movie was just like shit. I didn't like the first movie. I thought it was stupid.
Okay, so the last award, save the best for last, the best superhero movie of this year.
Ooh,
Spider-Man.
So nominees are Zack Snyder's Justice League,
Spider-Man,
Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals, Suicide Squad, which is actually a pretty good movie.
I didn't get to watch that.
Spider-Man, No Way Home, and Venom, Let There Be Carnage. So there's been 7 superhero movies that released this year.
Damn.
Top 3 easily. The top 3 stands out by far compared to the rest, which is Suicide Squad, Spider-Man No Way Home, and Shang-Chi. And out of those three, I think it comes down to personal preference. I think it was No Way Home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can't, like, I think it's pretty obvious everyone's going to choose No Way Home.
I personally actually really like Zack Snyder's Justice League. I thought it was pretty good. But I think No Way Home would be my favorite one of the year.
For a four-hour movie, it had like 2 hours worth of really good movie. Like there's a lot of unnecessary shit in there, and it took.
Remember that song? Remember that part where the Aquaman leaves the sweater and that chick sings that song?
Yeah.
Like, why is that in that movie? what was that?
Where she just sings that finished song for like two, 4 minutes?
Yeah. What was that about?
I feel like, if they gave that a proper release, made it into a reasonable cut, maybe not 4 hours.
Yeah.
That definitely, and they never released the original Justice League.
Yeah.
If this came out first, I would have been like, oh, damn, that hits hard. And the end, everything works. No stupid gags where Flash lands on Wonder Woman's boobs. Like, all that bullshit's cut out. Like, yeah.
Does that happen?
Yeah.
In the original.
Why?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't remember.
The dude thought that would be a good idea. Who's the first?
Josh Whedon. Are they
doing Flashpoint?
Josh Whedon.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Flashpoint? Yeah. Happening?
Is that what's happening in that movie? I don't know. Yeah.
No,
but is Flashpoint happening?
As a movie, yeah.
I thought they were going to do a separate Flashpoint thing.
Well, there's a Flash movie.
There's a Flash
out.
Movie.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Flashpoint. But it probably is Flashpoint.
Maybe you're referring to the Flash Thompson's novel, Flashpoint.
Yeah.
From No Way Home.
From No Way Home. Yeah.
That was a very good reference.
So it is happening.
It's a good segue back.
Yeah. So I think for me, it is Spider-Man No Way Home. But I enjoyed Suicide Squad, but the end of Suicide Squad was a bit whatever. Shang-Chi was very good as well. The other ones are sort of middling. Like Black Widow was whatever. Eternals was not that great, I guess. Yeah. Venom was probably the worst one, though. Out of all of them. Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, when you talk about superhero movies, it's hard to get more quintessential than Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Especially if you grew up with, you know, Sam Raimi Spider-Man. You know, going on to the mid-scenes of, the Amazing Spider-Man series with Andrew Garfield. And then this one. It's just, it's hard to beat that nostalgia factor, especially when they've made cameos in it as well.
I wouldn't say the other ones are bad options, though. But
Spoiler.
All right, spoilers for every movie.
Oops.
You haven't seen the movie.
Yeah. Cool, and we can just end with our favorite movie of the year is probably Spider-Man for all of us, right? So
Probably. Yeah. We're pretty fresh from it as well. Maybe as time goes on, we'll
from this year, I don't know what else is going to beat Spider-Man.
Yeah, I like non-superhero stuff. I liked Last Night, so that was really good.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to next year. So let's see what.
Homeland 6, bro. We forgot a fuck. That movie was fucking hilarious, man.
Home Alone again? Or
the one called? With the British.
Home Sweet Home Alone.
Oh, Home Sweet Home.
Yeah. That's probably in the worst list. Okay, so most.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50,
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Anticipated for 2022. So what I'll do is I'll quickly run through some of the movies that are coming out in each of the months, and then we can pick what we each of us are most anticipating. So there's a movie called The 355. Have you heard of this? It's like another Ocean's 8 situation with women. That's coming out. That's the first movie to come out in January. And then there's a Scream reboot.
What? What do you mean it's Ocean's 8 situation with women?
What
is it based off?
It's like, not based off anything. So it's like an espionage movie where it's got a pretty good cast. So it's got Jessica Chastain, Lupita Nyong'o, Diane Kruger, Penelope Cruz, Sebastian Stan. So, yeah. It's like a action spy movie.
Sure. Interesting.
Scream, which is actually, it's not a reboot. It's a sequel to the old Scream movies. I never watched those, but some people are into it. That's also in January. Morbius is the first superhero movie of the year. In January, starring Jared Leto.
Looks interesting.
It's also got Tyrese in it. So.
Oh, fuck. He's honestly the worst actor ever.
I remember you said that last time we talked about something with him as well. Oh,
God, he's so bad.
February, we've got Death on the Nile, which is a sequel to, what was that other movie?
Murder on the Orient Express.
Yes. Okay. Kenneth Branagh, directing and coming back as an actor. Gal Gadot is in it. And other people, Letitia Wright. So, another star-studded cast. Oh,
Daisy Ridley not on this one?
No.
Did she get killed in the first one?
No.
Nah, Johnny Depp does, though. And everyone's... The whole thing's a murder mystery. It's like, who killed him? It was everyone. Everyone stabbed him once. Yeah. Everyone gets one turn at stabbing him.
A perfect allegory for Johnny Depp's actual defamation case.
Yeah.
Everyone gets one shot at stabbed.
Bitch Amber Heard.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Getting political.
In February, there's an Uncharted movie coming out. So there's a couple of trailers that have come out for that already. So that's starring Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg.
That's the video game. Yeah, I've got to play the games, man. I haven't played yet.
There's a Michael Bay movie coming out next year starring
Jake Gyllenhaal. The ambulance one. Yeah. I'm going to drive this ambulance.
Yeah, they drive around an ambulance.
Yeah, that's the movie. Yeah.
I don't know, people chasing them or something?
Yeah.
There's a trailer. So that's also in February. March, probably one of the biggest movies of the year, The Batman.
Oh, yes.
Ah, nice.
Obviously, Robert Pattinson as Batman. Again, a star-studded cast directed by Matt Reeves. That's one that I'm looking forward to. Turning Red, which is a Pixar movie. You might have seen the trailer for this one. So it's about the little girl that turns into a red panda or something. So that's also in March.
Yeah, it looks fun.
April. One of your most anticipated movies, Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Kill me now.
Again, all the returning cast from the Fantastic Beasts movies. David Yates, again, directing.
Yep. This time with Mads Mikkelsen.
No Johnny Depp this time. So Sonic the Hedgehog 2. So Sonic the Hedgehog 1 was a surprisingly good movie. So, the sequel's coming out in April. And I put this one in because it's not like a regular blockbuster type of movie, but it's called The Northman. It's starring Anya Taylor-Joy, Alexander Skarsgård.
I'm not looking forward. This is a guy that directed The Lighthouse, isn't it?
The Lighthouse and The Witch.
Yeah.
So his movies are like pretty critically acclaimed.
Anya Taylor-Joy's in The Witch, isn't she?
Yeah. She's in The Witch. And then this one has Willem Dafoe as well, who was in The Lighthouse. So a lot of people are looking forward to this movie.
His movies are weird, though. Have you seen, like...
I haven't seen.
They're like...
Yeah, like they're very abstract.
Yeah.
That's why the joke in Mr. Bean's Holiday is Willem Dafoe's movie. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Like that. It's like Willem Dafoe's... Yeah.
Really?
That's kind of how his movies are. But like that's
have you
like
seen it?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I never knew it was a reference to his movies.
But yeah, Willem Dafoe's... Like, slowly, he's getting to, like, Nicolas Cage level in terms of my...
Oh, man.
For me. Like, he's an amazing actor. Yeah. I'm looking forward to some of his movies. There's a movie called The Lost City, starring Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum.
Oh, yeah. I saw the trailer for that.
Yeah.
It's like a... It's got Brad Pitt as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Looks like a comedy.
It's like a comedy action movie.
So that's also in April. In May, that's when things really start heating up. So Doctor Strange 2, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Nice.
Directed by Sam Raimi. Obviously, all the Marvel people are back for this movie. So that's on the 6th of May. DC League of Super Pets is a DC animated movie.
Sam Raimi, did you say?
Sam Raimi, yeah.
The same guy that did Spider-Man,
yeah.
The original.
Yep. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Did he do the first Doctor Strange?
No.
Nope.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they got him just for this one. DC League of Super Pets, whatever. It's an animated movie, not related to the DC universe, but maybe we might watch it. John Wick Chapter 4.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Mm.
That's going to be huge.
So that's also in May. And then on the same day that that comes out, in terms of release schedule as it stands at the moment, is Top Gun Maverick, which has been delayed multiple times, starring Tom Cruise.
Nice.
And then we move to June. So in June there is Jurassic World Dominion, the third Jurassic World movie.
Yes, I'm pumped.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
But I'm always pumped for Jurassic Park.
Where they left off at the last movie, it could lead to
It could be interesting.
And they're Force Awakens again.
Yeah, they're getting all their
original cast is back. Yeah.
Oh shit!
Oh, yeah. Jeff Goldblum. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm pumped.
Oh damn!
Hey, what about Matrix?
That came out. That's this year. Yeah.
When has it come out?
It's out now.
It's out.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
No, it's out. Just watch it.
Have you seen it?
No.
Why not?
It actually just came out today. Literally came out today.
Just came out today, right?
Yeah.
Have you watched it?
No, I haven't seen it. I really haven't seen it. I want it. Let's watch it.
Why not?
What do you mean, why? Why aren't we watching it now instead of doing the podcast?
After Jurassic World Dominion, there is a movie about Buzz Lightyear called Lightyear.
What the
Yes.
Starring Chris Evans as Buzz Lightyear.
Ooh.
So it's an animated movie. It's a Pixar movie coming out.
Who previously did his voice?
Tim Allen.
Why don't they just get Tim Allen to do it?
Because this isn't like it's going for a realistic story of Buzz Lightyear, as if
the toys, it's not like a toy,
inspired off of a real life person in the future in a different universe.
Whoa,
yeah,
animated,
The
trailer's pretty good. Check it out.
Animated,
yeah, Pixar.
Yeah, it's a Pixar movie.
It's about the guy who inspired the toy,
pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I thought it was just supposed to be a Buzz Aldrin reference.
No.
As in, you know, the inspiration is? Pixar's always like that. They're pretty much very geeky. They're like naming their characters after real life people and that kind of stuff. But yeah.
July, another animated movie, Minions, The Rise of Gru. I'm not sure what your opinion on the Despicable Me franchise is.
They milked that shit too much.
Yeah.
I think they scientifically...
They sold a lot of toys, so...
They engineered that Minion as, like, what would go viral for kids.
Yep.
And people with certain interests. It just shot the roof. I think that's... The Rise of Gru, it sounds like they're somehow connecting it back into the Despicable Me main universe.
Yeah. So it's about...
Skywalker.
It's an origin story for Steve Carell's character, Gru.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I hate it when they do that. They don't need to show... It's like... The whole fun is not.
But these movies make a lot of money. So the second Despicable Me movie made a billion. They made a Minions movie just with Minions, and that made a billion.
Jeez.
So, it's just
I find the Minions entertaining, but you can't do too much of it.
I feel like it's like cheap humor. Like when you watch like Toy Story or like a Pixar movie, it's good for adults and kids.
Yeah.
This is just for kids. But anyway, after that in July, there's Thor Love and Thunder.
Oh, yes.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
So Taika Waititi directing, Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. Holy fuck.
He's playing Batman.
Yeah. The crossing over.
Summer release. Yep. They always aim for the summer release for all the Thors.
This was actually, so it was meant to release in May, and Doctor Strange was meant to release in March, but they pushed everything out a couple of months.
What about Asgardians of the Galaxy?
They're in it. So Chris Pratt, Dave Bautista, Karen Gillan. They're all in it.
They're all in this.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah.
This is essentially
that. At least as a cameo. But
Zoe Saldana.
She's not.
I don't think so.
She's not listed. And I don't think they'll be in it
for
all of it anyway. I've also listed this one because so Jordan Peele's got a bit of a cult following now from the two movies that he's made. So Us and Get Out. Yeah, there's a movie called Nope coming out. It's starring Daniel Kaluuya.
Oh, yeah.
He's meant to be in it.
He's in Get Out.
And
it's got Stephen Yeun.
I think that's it's probably another horror type.
No one knows anything about it. The only thing that's been released is this poster that it's just a cloud.
Interesting. So that will be interesting. And then after that, so July is a bit of a packed month. Black Adam is also coming out in July. So it's directed by Juan Colette Serra, who directed Jungle Cruise this year.
Of course he did.
Nice.
Dwayne Johnson, obviously, is Black Adam.
I don't know if I'm convinced Dwayne Johnson's even a good actor. We'll see.
I don't think he is a good actor. But I think for certain movies, you don't really need to be a good actor. You can just ride it with charisma. And he's pretty charismatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the right person for the role if you have a role in line for him.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
But is this the first time?
If he's the central character, yeah, it might not work that
way. It might be the first time since the Mummy movies where he's actually playing a villain.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a villain, though. He's going to be an anti-hero.
There's actually nothing of note in August, which is interesting. But moving on to September, Mission Impossible 7 is coming out. So Tom Cruise has two releases next year. And that's sort of all there is in September as well in terms of things of note. October, though, there is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1.
Yes.
This should be good.
Nice.
Yeah. So they recently released a trailer for that. So it looks pretty good. I'm looking forward to that one. November, there's The Flash, which we were just discussing before. So it could be a Flashpoint movie. It's starring Ezra Miller. So Ben Affleck is in the list of cast members. And Michael Keaton is also in it. A week after that comes out, Black Panther Wakanda Forever is coming out.
Oh, shit. I've been thinking about this one. I'm really curious to see what they go with this now.
And they're having some issues with this, aren't they? Like, in terms of, like...
Yeah, there's a couple of issues with, like, Letitia Wright and stuff. So,
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what happens.
She's Shuri. And I think she was meant to become Black Panther, but... There's some issues with her.
She's also an anti-vax bitch, so she...
Yeah.
That's the issue that they have.
That's the issue. Because she needs to... Well, they can't shoot with her if she's not.
So, you reckon they'll recast if they won't go with her?
I think they're going to change...
I don't know what they're going to do.
They'll recast.
Yeah.
That's a real missed opportunity.
Yeah, because they've already lost, obviously...
Chadwick.
Such a sad...
It seems very early to, like, change... to give his sister the crown. We haven't had enough Black Panther yet to change the character. I think you should just recast and continue as if nothing had happened. Hard mantle to take up, but...
There's actually a big fan following that reckons to honour the spirit of that is exactly do what that, recast and continue. But I think in the same way, it's like, would it be prudent? Is there a storyline in the comics that actually goes along where, you know, Chadwick or, you know, T'Challa doesn't actually continue on and hands it over to someone else?
Is there?
Yeah. I mean, Shuri does become Black Panther.
Yeah, she does.
She might not actually become Black Panther in this movie. She might be like a transitioning movie.
I think the info on this movie is very low at the moment. It's just... they're having some problems. And I think it might get delayed even further. So probably won't even come out next year, if anything.
Yeah. Do you guys think there needs to be a Black Panther 2? Is there more to the story that they can...
Well, there doesn't need to be a Black Panther 2, but I think they probably have the thing is they probably have an idea and they want to execute that idea. Yeah. So I don't think they would have done it if they didn't have an idea.
I think there needs to be.
Yeah, I'd love to see more Wakanda, to be honest.
Yeah, but not even that. I think, like, his character was introduced in Civil War, and he had a movie that was kind of origin story, but also kind of what his adventures were afterwards. And then he wasn't involved that much in
Infinity War or Endgame. So, yeah.
And it's such a good character.
Yeah.
And the themes that they unearthed in the Black Panther movie were really, really good.
Yeah.
So. You need to have, like, how do you leave that character alone? It's a real powerful character.
I think so. And comes also, out of
the first spiral as well.
Yeah, I know. He's the first one. Yeah. And he's a super popular character as well. And, like, culturally so influential.
Everyone loved him in What If, T'Challa's performance as well. So,
yeah.
Chadwick Boseman's performance in What If.
And there's another thing. So, one of Black Panther's villains is Namor, who's not really a villain. He's like, kind of an anti-hero, but I think they want to introduce him in this movie, at least in some way. I think that's one of the ideas they have, because he'll play a bigger role in the wider universe as well. So we'll see if that actually happens.
Mm. Name.
So that's November. It's a big month, Flash and Black Panther 2. December, we've got Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Lost Kingdom.
So the second Aquaman movie. First one was fine, I guess, so we'll see what happens in this one. And coincidentally, so at the moment it's the same day. I doubt this is actually going to happen, but Avatar 2 is coming out the same day.
Mm. Oh, they'll definitely change.
Yeah, they'll change.
DC will definitely change their launch day.
Well, I don't know if I don't know if they will. I think more people would watch. Do you reckon more people would watch Aquaman than Avatar 2?
I think Avatar is not a cultural touchstone that people think it is.
Avatar is dead banter. No one gives a fuck about
it. No. The last Avatar movie came out in 2009, was it? Like,
even before, 2007.
2009, I think. Yeah.
So, like, people don't care about that anymore. Yeah.
But here's the thing. People are very easily swayed with marketing, right? You release a good marketing campaign on TV and buses and movie trailers and that kind of stuff, and people just suddenly go, oh, yeah, I love that 3D phase we had.
Is it Disney that's doing it?
They own it now, but yeah.
Well, if they own it now, then...
Okay. Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, look, I don't think it will be a good movie, and I'll be surprised. No, it's definitely not going to do as well as Avatar 1. Impossible. No way.
No, as crazy. Yeah.
I just don't think there's. But I do agree. If they do like a crazy marketing campaign, then maybe people get hyped for it and they'll go watch it. But it just, I don't know anyone that's like, I can't wait to watch Avatar 2. Like, I don't know anyone that is anticipating it. So
yeah, it was a fad. It was like. It was hyped up. Everyone watched it. It's like, oh, okay, good. That was experience. I'm glad we experienced that. And you kind of move out of it.
Yeah. And he's also doing like 5 movies.
Yeah. There's at least up to Avatar 4, I think. Yeah.
Which seems really unnecessary. But anyway, maybe he's got a big story that he wants to tell. Yeah. And that brings us to the end of the year. So other movies, there's one other movie that was rumored to be coming out next year. I don't know if it actually will, but there's a Super Mario Brothers movie.
With
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah. Nah, that won't come out next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this isn't like CG, right? This is actual live action.
No, it's animated. Yeah. Which is why it won't come out next year. It will take longer for them to animate that.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they'll give him an Italian accent?
I think not. I think he might have moments where he does it, but I think that'll be like his alter ego and he actually will just have Chris Pratt.
Yeah. I feel like it'll be like a fourth wall thing where he'll put it on and then the moment like the screen turns off or the player's not playing or something, he's like, oh, finally I can get over that.
Yeah.
It's so tough, man. I don't know if they're like politically correct. Like what they did with the Disney film.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah. So that's 2022. So we can maybe just say what our most anticipated movie of next year is for each of us. Mm. We'll probably all have different opinions.
And this is just movies, by the way, it's not including TV shows, right?
Not including TV shows. So we've just looked at movies. There's a lot of TV shows. I haven't included them, but there's a lot. There's too many, on Disney Plus, there's like 10 or something.
It's too much. Yeah.
That could actually be its own episode, to be honest.
It could, yeah.
Because Boba Fett's starting in like 3 days.
Yeah.
That's coming soon.
Yeah.
Movies wise, oof, so many. I'm looking forward to Batman. Any Batman reboot. I'm always really curious to see what direction they take it. So it's interesting. Like the trailers, they're interesting. I'm not fully convinced yet. I feel like the film has got more to offer. So that's going to be my number one most anticipated.
Okay. Mine is actually, it was Batman. I'm still like really looking forward to it, but it's probably Doctor Strange 2 now because of what happened in Spider-Man No Way Home and just other stuff that's happening in Loki and all the stuff that's happening. So I think that will be a movie to watch. So that's my most anticipated.
For me, it's a tough one. There's probably 5 that I'm really anticipating, but I'm going to say at the moment, probably Spider-Verse 2.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man, Spider-Verse. Part 1 as well of 2. So it's probably going to leave us at a cliffhanger. So I'm really intrigued to see.
Mm.
Well, it could be like Infinity War level good. So,
it's going to be painful, yeah. Just knowing it's going to be part 1.
I can't decide between Thor, Spider-Verse.
The 5 that I'm anticipating, Batman. Multiverse, Thor, into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
That was 4. That's a 4 I'm anticipating.
And Morbius.
Yeah, obviously Morbius.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't decide.
Yeah.
Between those. I'll say Spider-Verse because of how good it was.
Yeah.
But also the last Thor movie was fucking incredible.
So yeah. Thor. Yeah, almost.
Anything with that. Taika Waititi is, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be a big year. And I think everything will actually come out. It's not like last year where everything just kept getting delayed. Wow. So,
yeah. I feel like we're saying films, some
crazy things at the moment. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like Taika Waititi, all the Marvel films, I just feel like I know they're going to be great. So I'm just like, I can't wait to watch it. I'm going to sit down and enjoy it. And I feel like my most anticipated film are the ones that I fear might be bad, but I want to be good.
Mm. Yeah.
It's yeah, like, that's like, the movie that I fear might be bad that I want to be good is definitely the Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that knocks out of the park.
Yeah.
I would love to see them do a modern take of, well, you know, Day One Batman or Batman Year One, which is essentially what this is going off of. But it's going to be a very exciting year by the box office. Hopefully we stay out of lockdown across the world so people can actually go back in the cinemas and enjoy. Because if we have another global delay, like that's going to
really... If we have another lockdown, I'm fucking leaving this fucking stupid country.
That's funny because you just got this place as well.
Yeah, so we're not... No one's really looking forward to Fantastic Beasts, Secrets of Dumbledore.
No. I also have a gay sex scene.
Why are they still watching? Between Mads Mikkelsen and the Jew Law? You want that, wouldn't you?
I would watch that.
I don't know why they're still calling it Fantastic Beasts. Yeah, that really doesn't have anything to do with them anymore. Yeah.
Probably my least anticipated movie. I'm not going to lie.
I hope it just doesn't get released.
And I think everything's just going against the grain with Harry Potter right now. Like J.K. Rowling's really not helping her own cause.
Yeah.
And things are just going sideways.
I think, controversial, but I think she said what she... Have you read what she's read? I mean, what she said?
Here's the thing. She likes stirring the pot at the worst possible time.
She does.
I must say,
I don't see anything wrong with what she said. I think she has said it for no reason. There's no reason as to why she said it. Well, no, actually, there is. Because she got accused of... The whole thing was like she had a villain in one of her books that was transgender.
Yeah.
Right? And then the argument made by people was like, you're being anti-transgender because you made your villain transgender. Which is the most ridiculous argument ever. It's like saying your villain is Indian. You are therefore fucking racist. What the fuck? That doesn't make any sense, right?
But I will say one thing. The cards kind of line up against her. When she's done multiple things to show that she's actively... Okay, controversially, she's definitely controversial. She knows she is. And I think she's playing that to her advantage to try and raise issues for what she's passionate for.
Yeah, I think she raises
She wears her emotion on her sleeve, and I think she raises
some fair enough issues. I think they need to be discussed in more detail. I think the problem is that people are too scared to actually discuss these details. They're too scared. People just go one way or the other. They're like, nah, she's totally right. That's it. And then other people are like, oh, you're just some bigoted fuck. And they just don't, no one is able to have any conversation about this, and it just leads to all this crap. So JK, it's very interesting, but no one seems to be able to talk about the issue. It's like as if you need to choose one side or the other. It's unreal.
Which is the same tagline for Fantastic Beasts.
What?
The new film. Choose one side or the other. Are you going with the dark or staying with those who fight?
The only reason she hasn't been cancelled is because she's too successful to be cancelled.
Think so.
There is too much. Oh, she'll just withdraw all her rights from... Like, she'll take her rights.
Also, she's not really in control of anything anymore. Like, creatively.
Well, no, there's contracts, right, that she signed off for, who is it, Warner Brothers that makes these movies. So if they cancel her, it means that they forfeit the rights to make all the future movies.
I've actually read about it. It's a genius move Warner Brothers have done. They've purposefully created that shell company, Wizarding World.
Yeah.
They did that as a way to distance themselves from the creators and anyone associated with the franchise so they can say, hey, Harry Potter's its own world. No one controls it. If someone says something controversial or someone goes and, does something, doesn't impact this universe. We can still make the games. We can still make the musicals, we can still make the
movies. Has she fully written off all rights and creative control?
She hasn't, but the thing is that the franchise is technically now owned by Wizarding World, which is a Warner Brothers thing. So she's not sold it off, but she's kind of like, she's still getting royalties.
Interesting.
It's a really interesting, when you look at the corporate, the way people handle these things, they make sure there's like a shell company involved. And same thing with the Tolkien family. They did that with the Tolkien family just in case Christopher Tolkien said something. Anything.
Hasn't he been saying all some crazy shit now? and asking for like,
against the movies and stuff. But
yeah,
they're very clever. I think these production companies are very clever.
Are they making a Lord of the Rings movie at some point? They
are. TV show.
When's coming out?
I think next.
Next year, I think. Yeah.
End of next year.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Nice.
That's going to be very interesting.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. See you later.
So J.K. Rowling is writing the screenplay for the new movie.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. So all she's still involved. Suck.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
She's still involved. Holy shit.
She wrote the screenplay for the second one.
The first one was crap.
So I almost couldn't believe that that was anything to do with her, the second one. It was just so left field.
She was also involved in allowing that play to go on.
Yeah, she signed that one off. So.
So, yeah. She's made some interesting decisions.
A lot of Harry Potter fans now. I was like, it's not canon.
All right. I think that brings us to end. So, 2021 was an interesting year. Had some good movies. And 2022 looks like it's going to be another good year in terms of movies as well and TV shows.
Looking forward to it.
All right. So if people want to get in touch with us and tell us about their most anticipated movie, how do they go about it?
Google.com.
That's it.
Yeah, you could
go to google.com and you search cognitive recalibration.
Yeah.
Or you can email us at cognitiverecalibration.com@gmail.com. That's not right. cognitiverecalibration@gmail.com. No, cognitiverecalibration podcast@gmail.com. That's it.
We got there.
It's very late. Yeah.
We just crossed over midnight. So
if you want to support the podcast, you can do so by giving us a review on iTunes and Spotify. Then that makes us more discoverable on search engines. Okay, so I think we'll wrap it up. I think we're all a bit tired as well. So
Caridi was basically asleep.
He was falling asleep. Yeah. Correct.
All
right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Hope you're all staying safe, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.
And the next year.
And in the next year. Yeah, it'll be next year.
Hope it is a Western conspiracy. Goodbye.
Have a good one, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.